future lay out there in the bullpen.
This is the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Who let those guys up here?
Well, well, well. How the turntables.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Quit it now!
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5 is the bullpen with Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, myself, Brian McDonald, our man Josh behind the glass. We have a whole lot to get into, including the NBA. Friday kind of started off with a dud for the Rockets. I know Andrew Carlson, as I was getting ready for the Patrick Creighton late hit show Friday evening, came through the bullpen complaining that the Rockets haven't done anything. And then it feels like just moments later, the Rockets were giving out a max deal to Fred VanVleet, formerly of the Toronto Raptors, bringing him to Houston to, I assume, be their point guard for the next three seasons. It's a three-year, $140 million contract, third-year team option. And, yeah, that's there's obviously some other signings we'll get into as well for the Rockets, but none bigger than Fred VanVleet. So, RJ, I'll start off. Your reaction, Fred VanVleet, someone we've talked about, I feel like, for weeks, maybe months now at this point, as being maybe an option for the Rockets this offseason, and he's now in H-Town.
We've definitely talked about him ad nauseum. A lot since, you know, the offseason began, and definitely since we started doing the show, of just what guys would Houston look to acquire via free agency. And we've said that this team needs a point guard and that they've tried to do point guard by committee. DJ Augustine wasn't all that bad, but you had also guys like Ty Washington, where, you know, the KPJ experiment. You also have Jalen Green, looking at him more as a combo guard. You bring in Amen Thompson, and we kind of talked about it where we don't feel like he's ready yet to step into that point guard role as a starter yet. So now you have a guy in Fred VanVleet who's battle-tested, an NBA champion.
All-star.
And an all-star guard that I think is just what the doctor ordered for this team. So to be able to get him with such a young roster, one of the biggest things, I guess, that Ime Udoka was talking about is he needed, you know, veteran guys in the room, guys who are going to act professional. Guys who are also going to be mature, and he definitely checks all those boxes. So this is definitely a great pickup for the Houston Rockets. I'm excited, you know, what he'll be able to do when it comes to the development and mentorship of Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, those guards that are going to be the future of the Houston Rockets, what he can do for them. So not only just kind of on the floor, but off the floor, I think it's a huge signing for Houston.
And I agree with a lot of what you said there, RJ and Sean. One of the things we talked about last week is how rookie point guards always suck. Yeah. And they suck, you know, not only for the rookie season, but sometimes into year two. And with Amen Thompson, I mean, obviously a very raw prospect. Didn't obviously play college basketball. Didn't even play the G League. Played in overtime elite. So I think the obvious first benefit of signing Fred VanVleet is he's going to help you win more games. He's probably, along with your other signings, I think going to be good enough to get you in the conversation for a play-in game spot. But on top of that, now you don't have to rush Amen Thompson into the starting lineup. You don't have to try to bring a 19-year-old along and throw him in with some veterans and some players trying to win games now and put that sort of expectation on him.
Yeah, exactly. He brings what, like you said, what Ime Udoka laid out as what he wants. He wants a veteran, a true professional, someone with championship experience, someone who's been on the biggest stage and performed there as the 2019 Raptors, how Fred VanVleet did. And he's also comes at a position of need for the Rockets, like you said, with Amen Thompson. We're going to bring him along slowly. Really, he's going to be the first rookie that the Rockets have had in the last 3 years that is getting brought along slowly. And that just speaks to the shift that this organization has to look to compete this year. These games matter if they win or lose. That is what the organization is putting out there. That's what Ime Udoka is putting out there. And starting with Fred VanVleet as the leader, he's going to be the highest paid player on the Rockets. That really shows the direction that this, not new front office, but new direction that the front office is taking with the new coach, wants to take it, because he is a defensive minded offensive organizer. He just organizes things. He runs an offense.
And I think that's a key point there, and please keep going on it. But I love that, because so much of what we saw from the Larkins the last couple seasons was there was no structure in offense.
Yeah.
It was just, okay, your turn, take a shot, my turn, take a shot, and we're never going to run a play for Jabari Smith. Now you bring in Ime Udoka, who's definitely going to have a more structured system, and you have a veteran point guard, which of all the positions to have that veteran, the guy actually running the team on the court,
the
this feels like a home run.
Yeah, no, it does. Home run, yeah, I'll call it a home run. It is a wall scraper.
Should I set a three-point shot? I mean, we're talking basketball, and I use the baseball reference.
Oh, I was just thinking, like, it's not like an Ohtani, like, 500-foot home run. But
okay,
it is
fair.
It's on the
stand. Is it a stand-up double?
No, I think it's like a Crawford Boxes home run.
Okay,
I think it's
a cheap home run.
I think it's a little bit of a cheapy because of where the Rockets are starting at. Absolutely, we need somebody.
Yeah.
And Fred VanVleet is somebody.
We have $40 million we must spend.
Yes, and Fred VanVleet is somebody. He's someone that, again, we liked the fit on the Rockets, mm-hmm. and his it's about $43 million per year that he's getting.
Don't make me do math.
That he's getting.
10 a.m. It's 10:05 in the morning. Don't ask me to do math.
That he's getting for this next 3 years. Like you said, only two of them are guaranteed. The last year is a team option. It's actually 46. No, wait, no, it's 40. Hold on.
Like I said, 10:05, way too early to do math.
No, I think I have
faith in you.
I did
this
the division
right,
wrong on the
well,
computer.
Well, obviously.
Because I typed in the wrong, I think it's 130. Anyway.
It is, it's 3 years, one. Okay, well, anyway, let's move off of math.
I think that the team, I mean, it was the biggest, I guess, minor freakout of the first day as free agency, other than, oh my God, they went 2 hours without signing someone, which just shows how spoiled, or not how spoiled, just how free agency, NBA free agency has really moved on us, where if you don't sign your top target in 2 hours, you're...
Especially
your
when the actual official window isn't even open.
And, like, you don't even have to go back that far to, like, in 2016, Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors on July 4th.
Oh, there was, I think it was.
And then it took Kawhi a minute before he made the decision between LA and the Lakers and the Clippers.
The original LeBron James decision to take his talents to South Beach, that TV show was on July 8th.
Yeah.
We were complaining that Fred VanVleet didn't sign with the Rockets in 2 hours.
2 hours, yeah.
And LeBron had people waiting for a week. Yeah, I think that the original sticker shock is surprising. I think a lot of people also kind of take this like in a vacuum of like he makes $43 million,
where
it's like that is still like 30% of the cap. Like that is normal max contract.
Let's stick with that for a second, because you're right. I think a lot, if there was any negative on this that I heard and read online, it was almost kind of the same reaction that we saw to Will Anderson. It's like, okay, Will Anderson's a great player, but you paid too much. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the same reaction we saw with Fred VanVleet. And RJ, I don't know how you feel about this, but I remember when I was doing the show Friday with Patrick on Late Hits, we had someone text in and goes, you paid Fred VanVleet $2 million more than Kyrie Irving. What type of market did you think Kyrie Irving had after what he's done the last 5 years? And we could run down the laundry list of reasons why he's deflated his market value. But, I mean, Fred VanVleet, he's an all-star. He's won a championship, whereas Kyrie's given out, you know, flat earther conspiracy theories. Just, like, why do you think he has so much more trade value?
Just on the most basic level. And then we can maybe pivot to, like, the other moves that the Rockets made. Because I think we all are, like, thumbs up
on Fred VanVleet, yeah.
The comparison with Kyrie Irving, where it falls apart is Fred VanVleet had the Rockets that wanted him and had the Toronto Raptors that wanted him. Both of them could pay him his max and both wanted him.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving did not have someone who both wanted him and could pay him comparable, could push the Mavs to pay more.
And yet the Mavericks still paid him damn near. Yeah, I don't get what the Mavericks are doing there.
I think also, to be honest, speaking to it, because of the rumors we heard, I mean, Sean and I were kind of talking about it, you know, when we do the transition between the bench and Paul Gallant. And I think it was Mark Stein was saying like 2 years, $83 million.
Yeah.
So then when you see, you know, 3 for $140, you're like, whoa, like, you know, that was nowhere near like what we originally thought. But
and then it comes out that there's a team option on the third year. And now we're back where we started.
Yeah. And to your point as well, it's like, I think Toronto in the 11th hour is like, I don't think we can lose this guy.
So, I mean, what's kind of name your price? And it kind of almost maybe force Houston's hand to say,
it just
we
takes
have to
that
pay
one extra team to have a bidding war, and then and prices go up. But and this is a point we made last week where you got all these guys like Jalen Green and Jabari and Şengün. They're still on their rookie contracts. So especially if the Rockets go the route of not picking up the team option for the third season, by the time all these core players are getting that second contract, Fred's off the books.
You can do deals like that because of the fact, because of the fact you have so many rookies and so many guys are just on lower level contracts. You can make a deal like this.
The second highest player when Fred VanVleet signed, the second highest player on the Rockets, paid player on the Rockets, was Kevin Porter Jr., who made $15 million.
And his contract's not even fully
guaranteed. And his guarantee is basically year to year, like, try not to leave a game early contract. And then the next highest guy is all the rookie scale guys that get – it's Jalen Green, who got picked second in the draft, what, 2-3 years ago. Yeah. So he makes $9 million. Then it's Jabari, who makes like $7 million. It's like just guys that got drafted highly is the next highest salary on the Rockets. So, yeah, it's obviously like if you're to start a team from scratch, you don't start by paying Fred VanVleet $40 million a year. But where the Rockets uniquely are, it makes sense.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, this is – people, I think, just see $140 million, like one of you said, it's sticker shock. But – they can get out of this deal by before the point that would actually hurt them. Because the point that would actually hurt them is if it kept them from re-signing Jalen Green or Şengün or Jabari Smith. But this contract's over before that even happens. And I think this is also, and we kind of talked about it with C.J. Stroud and why I wanted DeAndre Hopkins here to help his development. Yeah. I also think that even if Fred VanVleet doesn't lead them into a playoff run or something like that, what he's been able to do for the development of these young core players, helping Jalen Green, play off the ball, be in a position where he should be long term for the health of the team.
Have Kevin Porter off the ball.
Off the ball. And just have a veteran point guard to help set up Jabari Smith and actually run plays for him. Even if he doesn't lead you, past the second round, which I don't think anyone expects him to do over these next couple seasons, it doesn't matter. If he makes the young core players better and he's out of here before we have to pay them, I think we're win-win. So there's obviously quite a few more free agents we got to talk about signing with the Rockets, their fit, and just what the Rockets starting roster might look like next season. All that and more on the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN975.com. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the Bullpen. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back into the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 on this Sunday morning. It's Sean Mapes, it's RJ Saunders, myself, Brian McDonald, our man Josh behind the glass. Last segment, talking about the Rockets, mostly about Fred VanVleet and his signing on Friday. We'll get into the rest of the news right here. But if you have any thoughts on anything we talk about with the Rockets or later, we'll get into the Astros as well. Please give us a call on the HR&P listener line at 713-780-3776. And I do want to mention, before we get later in the show, Joel Blank will join us in the second hour to talk Rockets as well. So make sure you tune in for that. So obviously Friday, we kind of covered Friday now with the Rockets moves and making the big max signing of Fred VanVleet. One of the moves they were rumored to be heavily in on didn't end up working out. Brook Lopez, Woz was talking about it, how they were going to throw a bag of money at Brook Lopez, but he returns to Milwaukee on a 2-year, $48 million deal. Thoughts? I know you guys both like the fit that Brook Lopez would have been here for this Rockets team as a stretch big man to kind of play complementary to Şengün's inside game. But, missed opportunity there. How are you feeling about Brook Lopez not joining the Rockets?
I think a couple things. I think, one, what Kelly Eco said on his podcast about there's – talks that if they were to bring in another center, and I would assume a center that would require starters minutes, that Şengün wouldn't be the happiest guy. So if that's to be true, and it seems like with not getting Brook Lopez and then you end up signing Jock Landale to a deal, it seems like there may have been some truth to that. On the flip side, I think Brook Lopez was probably in a position to where it's, do I want to be on a team that's going to be fighting to make the play-in game or come back to a team that we're going to be in the middle of, you know, the Eastern Conference fighting for, you know, NBA championship?
I mean, unless they face the Miami Heat in the first round, right, Josh?
Unless they face the Miami Heat in the first round. So I think it was kind of like a difficult decision there for him. It seemed like he didn't want to let anybody in on what his decision was going to be. He was on ESPN talking about, like, he wanted to go to Seattle if Seattle had a team.
That's random.
Yeah, he had talked about that.
That's very Brook Lopez.
Can you guys put a team in Seattle real quick?
I'd like to go play there.
He said, you know,
okay.
I think he talked about, like, you know, when I retire, that's when, like, Seattle's going to bring a team back, and the biggest regret of my career is that I didn't play in Seattle.
What connect is Brook Lopez from Seattle? I know he played at Stanford. Yeah, it's. I mean, I guess it's a decent drive from Stanford to Seattle. What's the connection from Brook Lopez to Seattle? You're not going to be near Disney World.
Big Sonics fan growing up.
The Lopez twins love Disney World.
So I mean, I don't get it. But
his older brother, not his twin brother. His older brother played at the University of Washington.
But he's from North Hollywood, Los Angeles.
Yeah, I don't get it. There's plenty of teams in California you can go play for.
Yeah.
Former Laker. So this is probably a blessing in disguise for the Houston Rockets. I mean, there are a couple of other.
If it would upset Shingun, yeah. Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already going to be, I mean, $24 million a year for someone who's, what, going into his 35, 36 year old season?
Sounds like a really young guy.
He's getting up there in age. NBA age.
Thanks, RJ.
He's getting up there. Thanks,
RJ. Yeah, it was going to be a sloppy fit, I guess. I mean, it's very similar to the Fred VanVleet stuff, where everything that he brings on the defensive end, the shooting, the leadership, all that, you can make the sell of, oh yeah, I get why you'd be interested in him, but on the court, it would have taken some creativity.
Yeah, it would have felt like you're putting together a jigsaw puzzle to try to find the rotation between he, Shingun, and Jabari Smith.
Yeah, it would be a delicate balance.
It would have been a delicate balance. So, Brook Lopez not headed to Houston, but someone else who is. I would say this is the kind of the opposite of Fred VanVleet in that it comes with. I think if we talked to 50 people on the street, you know, well, actually probably 20 of them would say, who's Dylan Brooks? But of the people who knew who Dylan Brooks is.
Welcome to NBA free agency. This guy got $80 million, too.
Who? Yeah. But I think of the people who do know who Dylan Brooks is, I think half of them would like it for, you know, his intensity, his defense, kind of a Patrick Beverley role that he might bring to the Rockets. Obviously, Beverley, a beloved figure when he was here in Houston on the Rockets. But the other half, we're going to, you know, look at that contract value. Think of him being a clown against LeBron and the fact that he can't shoot for anything and hate this deal. So, I mean, RJ, where do you stand with Dylan Brooks coming here to the Rockets?
If you brought in Fred VanVleet to be the adult in the room,
And Dylan Brooks is not the adult in the room.
And be a point guard for, you know, a up-and-coming Houston Rockets team. I'm not saying that Dylan Brooks isn't an adult, but Dylan Brooks is probably going to do the thing that it seems that Ime Udoka has been pounding the table about since he's became the coach. We are preaching defense on this roster. And as far as I can tell right now, on this roster is currently constructed, there's only one guy that will hang his hat on the defensive end, and that's Dylan Brooks. And I think because of that fact, I think he'll challenge the other guys on this roster to also, you know, take defense just as seriously as they take the offense, because there's a lot of offensive-oriented guys on this team. I think he's going to be a guy that he's going to speak the language that Ime wants him to speak to the guys when they're not trying to understand or listen to what Ime has to say about, you know, defensive matchups and, you know, defensive strategy and all those other things. Dylan Brooks will be that guy. It's a steep price for me, especially after he wet the bed against the Lakers after talking all that trash. It'll definitely be interesting to see what kind of player he is and what kind of personality he's going to have with this team. I mean, who knows? I mean, listen, Latrell Sprewell was kind of a hothead, but then he became the spokesman of the Knicks in 99. Like, he was their spokesman when they had that lockout playoff run. Maybe Dylan Brooks becomes the spokesman of the Houston Rockets.
Or at least doesn't choke his head coach.
At least doesn't choke P.J. Carlissimo and, in this case, Ime Udoka. So it'll definitely be interesting.
Ime Udoka, choke him back.
So it'll definitely be interesting to see just kind of how Dylan Brooks is going to personality wise and also just play on the
fit.
Floor.
Like, what's, I mean, Sean, like, how does not only a guy who's going to be on the wing and can't shoot, but how does somebody with an intense a personality as Dylan Brooks going to fit on the squad with a lot of, I hate to use the word impressionable, but a lot of impressionable young players?
Yeah. No, I can tell that they're very impressionable young men. the fit. So, there's kind of two ways to take the question. The fit on the court and the fit off the court.
Yeah, take it both ways.
The fit on the court is, like RJ said, the defensive mentality that he's going to bring to this team. A guy, along with Fred VanVleet, who will take defense seriously. And they're going to be the two starters on your team that are older than 23 heading into this year. And so to have the more veteran leadership be more defensive minded, that I think is that will jive with what Ime Udoka is trying to bring to that side of the ball. Now on offense, you gotta hope. And again,
I mean, we talked about one of the big things the Rockets had to fix was the 3-point shooting, because they are what, worst in the league or near the worst in the league?
Not worst, you're right.
Yeah, 3-point percentage. And you're adding Dylan Brooks as a starter?
Could he be Bruce Bowen? Could he just be a corner sniper?
Yeah, so
PJ Tucker?
32%, 32.6%. Shortchange him last year. 30.9% the year before that. But then early in his career, 34, 35, 37. Like,
so I could live with 35.
He has shot well at the NBA level before. So there, maybe there's some they think they can, whatever, extract a little bit more.
Is there some sort of analytics that could tell us exactly what spot on the court he can choose well from?
Exactly. You also have to hope, and this is again where we've always compared since the both hires happened, or since I guess the Udoka hire happened, the D'Amico Ryans and the Ime Udoka plan to fix sports in the city of Houston, to fix their team. And there is, at least this first offseason for both teams, just inherent buy-in. It's like, whatever D'Amico says, we can roll with. And like the case that he is presenting, we can roll with. Same with Ime Udoka. Whatever Ime Udoka's vision for the Rockets is, we can roll with it to a certain extent. Dylan Brooks really strains credulity on that one. But you can make the case that you look at Udoka's time with the Celtics. Who do you think that he connected the most with and got the most out of on those Celtics teams?
Marcus Smart,
Grant Williams.
Right.
Two guys that after he left, and in Marcus Smart's case before Ime had arrived, were those, kind of hard-nosed guys that had questionable decision-making on the court, questionable shot selection, a little bit too much of, hey, it's Marcus Smart time, and Grant Williams always thinking is open. So you can make the case that maybe that there's something about those kind of personalities that Ime Udoka, being a hard-nosed role player himself when he played, can kind of, I don't know, speak some sort of language.
Is Dylan Brooks kind of the conduit between like the type of ball that Ime wants to play?
Exactly.
Dylan gets it, and he can relate it to the other players on the roster.
To be honest, I don't think that he's the guy, honestly. Well, he's going to be one of them, but I really feel like the biggest guy, and I know we won't talk about it because I don't think he's going to play all that much, but I think that's why you brought in Jeff Green.
Yeah.
And when you bring in Jeff Green, Josh, you want to know who I thought about?
Udonis Haslem.
Like, I was thinking of a guy.
He's just as old as him.
Right.
Jeff Green's going to play until he's 43?
No, but he is. Lucky. I think he's going to be a guy that is going to be that conduit and the bridge between the coach and the young guys. And I think that is going to pay huge dividends, even if it is for, you know, a one-year deal. I think that you needed just that guy to say, hey, can you talk to Jalen Green? Hey, can you talk to Amen Thompson? Hey, can you talk to Cam Whitmore? And I think that's the role that he's going to have. So if, you know, Dylan Brooks is on one, whatever one is.
He's on one.
Yeah, he's definitely on one.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, Jeff Green will be that guy where I think Ime is going to be like, hey, can you talk to?
I like that Dylan Brooks adds some veteran leadership to the Rockets, and then the Rockets also added veteran leadership for Dylan Brooks. That is essentially what they did.
Absolutely,
it's a pyramid of team leadership. Yeah. All right, we got more on the Rockets. We need to get into kind of what their starting lineup is going to look like, how it's all going to fit together next year, and if we have time, we're also going to get into an Astros vibe check. Great win on Friday night, followed up by a disappointing loss last night, and now they're throwing somebody into the starting rotation that I don't know if everyone actually knows who he is, with Framber Valdez getting skipped in line. So all that and more in the bullpen when we return in 3 minutes on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. One of these guys cheats at fishing.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome back into the Bullpen with the producers here at ESPN Radio. Sean Mapes at Sean A. Mapes on Twitter. RJ Saunders at R Has No J on Twitter. Myself, Brian McDonald at Sack by BMAC on Twitter. Our man Josh Behind the Glass, you can find him on Twitter at IMJChevy. Often sliding into the DMs of everyone he wants to get to know a little bit better. But let's get to know a little bit better a few more Rockets additions. Someone I'll have to get to know completely, because honestly, it almost feels like NBA free agency has one of these moments where you look up and someone you've never heard of gets $32 million. And in this case, that's Jock Landale. Sean, Jock Landale? Who is Jock Landale, and why did the Rockets give him $32 million?
All right, so 6'11", Australian center.
I'm sold. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's. So this is a Patty Mills thing?
Yes. I mean, Australian, and they both went to the same school.
They played on the national team together.
Also both former Spurs. Jock Landale, yeah. So he's not as, a defensive center as Brook Lopez, and he doesn't stretch as much as Brook Lopez does, but he does a little bit of both those.
So he doesn't do anything as well as Brook Lopez, but he's tall.
Yes, and okay. he got paid like a third of what Brook Lopez was going to get paid, because also and this is very NBA free agency. This is also very NFL free agency. It gets announced that Jock Landale, 4 years, $32 million.
And his contract's not fully guaranteed?
Hour or two later, actually, only the first year is guaranteed. Mm. Yeah. So a 1 year,
which is rare. Yeah, in the NBA, usually, I mean, obviously, there are option years, but most of it is guaranteed.
You very rarely get the three non-guaranteed years. It may be the last year non-guaranteed or something like that.
That feels like an NFL running back contract.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And the center is kind of the NBA version of the running back. Yeah, so they get Jock Landale, who, again, much to the who of everyone in the in Houston, but he was
me included.
He was actually someone that Andrew and I brought up as when we were doing the bullpen yesterday, when it got announced that Brook Lopez was signing with the Bucks. We were going through the other center options, and I was like, yeah, Jock Landale. He's all right. I even said like Jock Landale, but I mean, you'd hope not, or something else. Like, yeah. You know, you're really scraping the end of the barrel. But yeah. Jock Landale, I can see what they want in Jock Landale, and so that makes sense. We touched on Jeff Green on air. We also talked about him during the break, and I forgot if we mentioned Jeff Green. Yeah. 1 year, $6 million, to be the veteran to the veterans,
the grown up for the lesser grown up,
and he's gonna be the, I guess, fourth wing on this team, kind of the third string power forward, third string center, play some, but probably ultimately not that much.
So another move the Rockets made, sending Ty Washington out in our, I think a person we all love here on the bullpen, Usman Garuba. He's going to Atlanta. RJ, I'm sure you shed a tear when Usman Garuba got shipped out of here. But if you need to take a moment and eulogize the time Usman Garuba had here with the Rockets, just your thoughts on this Ty-Ty Washington. Ty-Ty Washington, I think, a name that people were high on at one point. It looked like he might have a bright future, and now he is no longer Houston Rocket.
That was the surprising one to me. But when you sign guys like you have, especially with Van Fleet, you're now looking like 8, 9, maybe even 10 deep, and there was going to be some, you know, it was just odd man out.
You only got 12 roster spots.
Specifically at point guard, you signed a $40 million year point guard and drafted a point guard number four overall.
And then you have KPJ, who I guess you
can play some. Some point guard. So, and so now you're looking at a guy who's going to be your third, maybe fourth point guard on this year's team, with the opportunity to be the backup point guard of the future.
Right.
I can see why.
There's not a lot of minutes to go
for
Ty-Ty.
Free up some money, free up some minutes. And we can also, because it's related with the Usman Garuba, I mean, yes, I no one should ever wear number 16 ever again in the city.
I mean, it should be in their ring of honor.
But I think, you know, swapping Garuba for Landale is essentially what they did. And it's just getting a little bit more confident. Have a little bit less upside, I guess, but not ultimately that much. It's
not a difference maker either way. It's not moving the Vegas win total projection.
With all these moves, especially throwing Josh Christopher overboard as well, throwing him into the...
Do you throw him into... was it the Sea of Tranquility, or did you throw him in with the Anchor Sharks?
Rockets Twitter would lead you to believe the Anchor
Twitter
Sharks.
Rockets Twitter would have a lot to say.
But maybe Jalen Green's in the Anchor Sharks now, seeing his friend go. We'll talk about the video some other time. Right. I think with these guys, it's a little bit of, yes, they are first round picks, but if you say the Rockets got rid of 3 first round picks,
that's misleading.
That is very misleading, because 3 first round picks get you in the conversation to trade for Damian Lillard. But if you say these 3 first round picks are Ty-Ty Washington, Usman Garuba, and Josh Christopher, you're like, wait, no.
And it also goes back to what we talked about last week. I mean, the NBA draft past, like, 10. It feels like it's the third round of the NFL draft once you get past the lottery.
Exactly. So. And so to free up minutes, to free up cash, and really what they did, and we can kind of transition this into their who is actually on the Rockets, which, poor me, tried to make this like basically right before all the moves happened, and I had to
keep the disclaimer
updating.
As of 8 p.m.
It was originally as of 6 p.m. Okay. And then as of 7 p.m. and as of 8 p.m. because
I didn't see those versions.
I literally made this right before all the trades happened.
Okay.
So point guard Fred VanVleet, Amen Thompson.
I think that's pretty cut and clean. I mean, whenever VanVleet's not out there, they're going to give Amen some run and get him experience.
Those two can also kind of play together with the size that Amen brings. Shooting guard. You got Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That's very, again, two guys that are somewhat building.
Yeah, and the guard, to continue that, I mean, the guard spots are very, I mean, it's going to be these four guys. It's pretty cut and dry with that. There's not a whole lot of, you know, other than the mixture of how they're going to put them on the court together, I can even see a scenario where you go quote unquote small. And you can, like you said, Sean, you could play VanVleet and Amen together because Amen's 6'7". You could play those two with Jalen Green on the court at the same time.
And that is the case for the, like, Amen Thompson. What if Amen Thompson's too good, too fast? It's like, well, you can play them all together.
You can play them on the wing,
So then at small forward, you'll be having Dylan Brooks starting with Tari Easton off the bench. Cam Whitmore probably as the developmental guy, probably the least amount of minutes.
And like a lot of this fits together really cleanly as I'm looking at this. But one thing that stands out is like, where's Cam Whitmore's minutes coming from? Like, what sort of playing time can we expect for Cam in year one?
I think he'll be at least to start the season redshirt or redshirt adjacent. And then, I mean, as this always happens in the NBA, it's a long season. Stuff happens.
People are going to get injured.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks will get suspended. Tari Easton will roll his ankle, and all of a sudden, Cam Whitmore starts. So,
unless he has like a real great summer league, and it's like we need to find him minutes on the floor.
Even then, like he can just then split time at the two and the three, and kind of be the foul trouble guy. Throw him in there all together, small lineups. Small or at power forward, you got Jabari Smith, you got Jayshon Tate, and Jeff Green,
which I found interesting because I know we didn't talk about him.
KJ Martin getting traded.
Did that surprise either of you? That felt like a made all these moves, the fit of the roster, he felt like
He was odd. Or what I thought was that KJ Martin and Jae'Sean Tate, one of them was going to be the RB.
Right.
It's two guys for one spot. And the fact that Jae'Sean Tate got picked over KJ Martin, maybe you can make the case that KJ Martin got you a little bit more in a trade. He got you two actual second round picks where
Tate
might have only gotten you one and then a fake second round pick.
Or do you think that maybe Jae'Sean's looked more as a point forward, almost he could bring the ball up, kind of initiate the offense a little bit. KJ really,
that too. He also seems a little bit more.
KJ's too small to play the five because it's
KJ Martin's almost too small to play the four. He's 6'5". He has a 50-inch vertical, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. But also, I think maybe this is just a little profiling that I'm doing, but Jae'Sean Tate just seems more like a Ime Udoka type of player, kind of undersized, again, defensive minded. All that fun stuff. He's a little Grant Williams-ish to a certain extent, but less of a headache, I would say, than Grant Williams. And then at center, you got the Twin Towers, the Sagoon and Jock Landale. That was for you, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. Sagoon, a guy I didn't know existed on this earth until 24 hours
ago. They should recreate the Hakeem Olajuwon.
Ralph Sampson poster. Yeah, they should. I think as we're going through this starting lineup, and I think we're going to carry – we're going to definitely carry – actually, let's go ahead and cut this conversation off now. When we come back on the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5, I've got one more question here on the Rockets and how this is all going to fit together with what we'll see on the court with the main guys getting minutes. And then we'll get into some Astros vibe check as well. Check in on the Astros after the series win in St. Louis and splitting the first two games in Texas, again, as Patrick Creighton would say, against the Arlington Junk Grabbers. All that and more when ESPN Radio returns the bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm old Greg!
This is the Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and
92.5. Well,
92.5. Yeah, right now just 92.5 in the stream because 97.5 is dead, apparently. I don't even know where to go. I was sent a video during the commercial break regarding a certain Houston Rocket. You could have given me 1,000. We're not going to talk about it because we can't, but you could have given me 1,000 guesses as to what the content of that video would have been, and I would not have gotten to what that video actually showed.
Ask your local young person.
Yeah, ask your local young person. Youth of America, you can explain it to your elders. All right. If you got any thoughts on the Rockets, and we'll get into the Astros later this segment, please give us a call on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. And don't forget, next segment at 11 o'clock, Joel Blank from the Killer Bees will join us to discuss the Rockets offseason, the draft, and free agency as well. But let's finish off the Rockets conversation. Last segment, Sean was kind of taking us through to steal a football term, the two deep is going to look like for the Rockets roster. And I had two kind of things that kind of stood out to me. A lot of it looks pretty clean. You know, point guard and shooting guard, it looks like pretty obvious who's going to get the minutes and how that's going to break down. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of arguments on how that plays out unless Amen Thompson just really takes off and then you're trying to find, you know, the extra minutes for him. One we mentioned in the last segment, you know, where does Cam Whitmore's playing time come from? Because it looks like he might be third amongst the small forwards at this point. The other one that stood out to me, and I know Sean is a huge fan of Jock Landale.
Mm-hmm.
Day one, he's been down with Jock Landale since day one.
Yeah, since he was out in Sydney.
Phoenix.
But I'm looking at the power forwards and the centers here, the bigs for this roster, and help me out, but I mean, Jabari Smith-Schangoon, obviously projected to be your starters, but it feels like of all the spots on the roster, especially in comparison to your guards, the depth there at your big position is pretty concerning if either Jabari Smith or Shingun goes down.
Yeah, that is the I would say the hole on this roster, which is funny that like we're talking about like, oh, there's a hole on this roster. That
of course they're a bad team. Yeah,
yeah, that one
or have been a bad team
that won 22 games last year and probably are going to win like 35, 36 this year. Like that's the range that they're going to be in. So yeah, the lack of size is a little bit like eyebrow raising. You hope that, or you saw in the playoffs that Jeff Green was able to play a little bit of small ball five for the Nuggets, and like in the NBA Finals, like was able to do that. So I think on, you know, a random night in January playing the Pistons, like that shouldn't be too much of a problem. But yeah, the size is like a concern when you go up against the Jokic's, the Embiid's of the world. But also, like, who isn't that a concern?
I mean,
for?
Yeah,
like,
going up against Embiid and Jokic is always going to be a concern.
Like
but
the Suns like couldn't guard Jokic. They have DeAndre Ayton, so you can invest in the center. You can try to get someone that you like, and then at the end of the day, like with the top guys are still going to be the top guys. But yeah, the overall lack of size is a little bit surprising. Something that maybe it's not a this year thing, but something that he can develop into is Jabari Smith eventually. Not starting at the five, but being able to play some small ball five in some lineups. He does bring – he's actually – either him or my guy Jock Landale might be the best rim protector on this team.
Yeah, I could see Jabari being kind of a off-ball shot blocker. I don't think he's going to block anybody guarding him straight up, but he can come from the weak side and block some shots. Yeah, he's got really long arms. So it's just when you look at the power forward and center, RJ, I mean, Shingun's obviously not a great defensive player, and that's putting it mildly. Jabari, I mean, he's tall, he's lengthy, but he's light. He's not a, you know, someone I would want to put in post defense a whole lot. He's going to be more, I think, preferably, you know, kind of out in the, not the perimeter, but just outside the paint. I mean, how do you feel about the bigs here in regards to the defensive side of the ball?
Well, first off, you're very light as far as like weight goes. And then also you have two guys, especially in Alperen Sengun, that's not thinking about playing defense. And I thought
he's thinking about it.
He's thinking about it, but thinking and doing.
Just and then kinda, he says, "Nah."
Yeah, it's just two separate things. I think for the Rockets, I think that's why you wanted to bring in a Brook Lopez and just kind of looking at a couple of free agents that are here. I mean, I don't know. I guess for what it's worth, Willie Cauley-Stein was here for a period of time last year. If you want to bring a guy,
Frank Kaminsky, I see.
If that's Frank Kaminsky as well. I mean, but you know, if you want a guy that you're saying, like, listen, all we need you to do is block shots, rebound, and rim run. I mean, you got guys like Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, if you wanted to get Mason Plumlee on like a short term deal,
Andrew was actually he was like Mason Plumlee's kind of my guy.
Like, if you wanted, like,
we were looking at the backup center options.
Mason Plumlee
is a Plumlee ever the answer?
No. Probably not. Not in 2023.
And then I'm thinking about him because there were a lot of guys within the Lakers organization that liked him. I mean, but he's not coming back to LA. But Wenyen Gabriel, a guy that just he's a hustle guy, works hard, but he's still that
feels like we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
You're going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel like throughout the regular season if you're trying to find another guy to, you know, be this backup center, backup power forward that, you know, is more dense, you know, for.
More thick?
More thick. Yeah.
Burly?
Burly. For the youth.
We want them
like
to be
matter.
Smart. Or like...
we're smart show here. The
dumb.
College educated trio. On
he
the
didn't
bullpen.
Exactly take AP classes, you know? Yeah, I think that's like the one like minor thing on this roster that is the... I don't know, the weakness of it other than just the overall youth, I think is also... long-term of strength, but overall youth. And like we talked about, how they were kind of throwing late first-round picks overboard with Uzman Garuba, Ty Washington, and Josh Christopher. When you look at the young talent that's still on their team, it's pretty clear that the Rockets evaluated who they think still has, like, blue-chip talent and, like, absolutely...
Who could take
like,
another step forward.
Star upside with Sengun, Smith. Easton, maybe not star upside, but he was a solid player. And Amen Thompson, those guys have massive upsides. And then they went in and they filled in along the edges with the veteran role players.
All right. Apparently, we got a phone call, and I think I know who this is. He's someone who called in on our very first show back in March. Coachy out in Tennessee. You want to talk about the Rockets offseason? How's it going, Coachy?
I mean, it's fantastic. Just swimming in a sea of gravy over here and loving every minute of it, except for the fact that the Rockets apparently love rewarding bad behavior. We have a team full of young talent. And what do? Sure, we get Fred VanVleet. I kind of like that move. Veteran guy, champion, can show some leadership. But then we go and show a man who likes to poke bears and gets mauled worse than the movie Cocaine Bear. And we give him an outrageous contract. This dude was on his way to playing in China. And now we have Dylan Brooks suiting up for us. And honestly, I'm not one for cancel culture, BMAC. You know me. People have said this. However, the first time I see Dylan Brooks leading our team in the clubhouse with a stupid dance, Rafael Stone needs to be canceled.
I think universally,
I don't think he's going to do the dance.
Yeah, I think
I don't think he's going to do that.
If I'm Ime Udoka, the first thing I'm like, all right,
don't do the dance.
Maybe that's even in his contract. Is like
it should be
4 years, $80 million, descending, blah 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 blah. Also,
every time you do the dance, you're docked $5 million.
Leave the dances in Memphis.
Or I think people would just make fun of him. It's like every time you've done that dance. Remember what LeBron did to you? LeBron and the Lakers did to you in the playoffs? I really feel like Dylan Brooks, he's going to try, but old habits die hard. He is going to try to turn over a new leaf, and I think he's going to try to be this guy that's just all business. And like I said, what Latrell Sprewell was with the Knicks, and I think he's going to try to be the spokesman.
With less choking?
With less choking, and he's going to try to be the spokesman for the Houston Rockets. It's definitely going to be an interesting thing to see. If he comes out and he's saying, I got to be me, and you're doing the dance, and no, Dylan.
I think where I was kind of upset with this, I can either deal with a pain in the ass who can shoot,
right,
or someone who's not a pain in the ass, and you're dealing with him maybe not being a great shooter. But when you throw Dylan Brooks in, who's a pain in the ass, and he can't shoot. Yeah, it feels like, I think if this was, I think the worst part of this is not only what I just mentioned, but the fact that it's a four-year contract. We're talking about most of this Rockets roster is kind of, you know, after 2 years, we could all kind of cycle through, you know, Fred VanVleet could be off the roster. You're paying your young guys with Shingun, Jabari, and Jalen Green, but then Dylan Brooks is still here because he's on that four-year deal.
If I could ask both of you guys, because, you know, as I continue looking at, you know, this projected roster, kind of, what's your feelings kind of on the right? Is it kind of like like, you know, we'll probably be at, I guess, what, 28, between 28 and maybe 35 wins? I mean, well,
I think they're 30-plus. I don't know what the Vegas win total projection will be, but if it's below 30, I would bet the over on that.
And what you have to remember is that these moves were made with the idea that of like this team's overall success, it will make and break and on the star talent of Jalen Green, of Jabari Smith, of Alperen Sengun,
Amen
Thompson in a couple years, Cam Whitmore, we'll see. That is the like ultimate plan, is to have these veterans give kind of a, you know, year, 2 years of kind of molding these guys and try putting a real basketball team around these guys, have these guys playing games that have at least a modicum of stakes to them. And then, you know, in 2025, 2026, that's when this will be hopefully a team that has, you know, three guys that when you walk into games, you're like, we have more talent than the other guys. Yeah. We have Amen Thompson, Jalen Green, and Jabari Smith. Like, we feel awesome about our team walking in. So it is a little bit of, they got the, like, veteran role play. They spent a lot of money on the guys that, like, don't exactly blow your hair back. But the guys that they are projecting to be those stars, to be the people that blow your hair back, those are all the young guys.
Agreed. And I do think signing the veterans, especially VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, they're not meant to be here, like you mentioned, Sean. If the Rockets are doing what we hope they do in 4 or 5 years, they're not on the team. But I do think they help accelerate maybe the progression now and sooner. Whereas you throw Udoka into a situation where he's got a starting lineup of all guys who are like 24 and younger, that those growing pains, I think, take a lot longer, if not if you don't have the veterans to help kind of lead this young core down to where the Rockets want to be. We don't have time to get into the Astros because we got to get to Joel Blank of the Killer Bees joining us next to talk about the Rockets. But I will say, vibe check on the Astros. Sean Dubin is starting today. Bad vibes.
Enough said.
Bad vibes on that. So that'll do it for this hour of the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. We'll be back next hour with Joel Blank in our next segment. Plus, we have a draft coming up in the second hour for foods that we think we could competitively eat in honor of maybe the greatest spectacle in American sports, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. All that and more when the Bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and, well, for now, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'll take the Negroni.
A Negroni? Magliato with Prosecco in it.